I'm trying a little experiment here. Probably you wouldn't notice it, but I'm using this microphone instead of this microphone. Because yesterday two people told me that we're still having sound problems in the live stream, so it doesn't affect us here, and by far most of the people who join the Mass are here in the chapel, but there are a few people who are at home, and they tell me how frustrating it is to be joining a Mass online and not be able to hear or get a choppy sound, and so I'm wondering whether this microphone will be better. So if anybody is joining us online, you can give feedback to Chloe, or right now it's Carl as the operator for the live stream. Okay, now we're here in ordinary time. This is only the second day of this period of the liturgical year, so we're still, you could say, getting used to being outside or after the Christmas Epiphany season. And we read the beginning chapter of the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus just leaps right into his public ministry and starts doing all sorts of things. We see that in today's Gospel. What we're reflecting on here is Jesus, who has come among us, the Word made flesh, on Monday, on the Feast of the Baptism. He was revealed in the water, revealed in time, revealed in creation as the Son of the Father and as the Anointed of the Holy Spirit. So this period of ordinary time after Christmas season is focused on Jesus as the presence of God in our midst, the Emmanuel, the sacrament of the Father, if you want to use the language of the theologians. He's the sacrament of the Father. In the period of ordinary time after Pentecost, of course, we're still focusing on Jesus because he's the center of our faith. But after Pentecost, the same Holy Spirit who descended on Jesus in the Jordan has descended on the church. That's Pentecost, right? Descent of the Holy Spirit. So the church is carrying on the mission of Jesus, and the church is the sacrament of Christ in the world. So again, that's the way theologians talk. Maybe it's easier for us to simply say that when we focus on the public ministry of Jesus, we get to know him and he reveals the Father, and when we ourselves reflect on our life in the Spirit, we are continuing the work of Jesus in the world. Now, in today's Gospel, Jesus is rapidly gaining the attention of the people in that region of Galilee. He's in Capernaum here. He heals many people. He drives out many demons. And if you want to put in modern language, his career is about to take off. He's about to launch his victory tour. And if he was a worldly person, that's what he would do. Use this momentum to attract attention and to make a big deal of himself. But you notice in this Gospel that a very sudden change takes place after this display of great power, and everybody in the whole town is gathered outside the door. The very next morning, in fact, early in the morning, before anyone else wakes up, he gets up and he goes away. He goes off to a deserted place to pray. Okay, we say, well, maybe he just needed a little break. Any superstar has to have a little personal time. But then when the disciples come and find him and they say, everyone is looking for you, we would expect him to say, well, okay, here I am. Because that's why I'm here, to be the presence of God in the midst of the people. Seek and you will find. Here the people are looking for him, well, let them find me. But he doesn't say that. He says, let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. And it might not seem, since you know this story, it might not seem so radical, but it's exactly the opposite of what worldly people do. He has an opportunity to grab the limelight, and he deliberately does not do it. Why? Because he's not there to attract attention to himself, even though he is God present in the world. He's there, or he's come, to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father defines Jesus' whole mission, not the will of the people, not the expectations of the people. And this is something we have to constantly get used to, because this is what happens when we realize that God is in our midst, and that we can find him, which is very important, that we can meet God in Jesus Christ. The error that can creep in is that if God is here, and if I can touch him, if I have this contact with him, well then, he's going to do what I want. He's going to answer my problems the way I want God to answer them. And that's not what God does. So then we get disappointed. Oh, I thought God was here. I thought God loved me. I thought God was revealing himself, and yet he didn't answer my prayer. Well, that's because we have twisted it. Jesus comes to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is certainly to save all of us. It's not the will of the Father that everything that pops into our mind is what's going to happen. That's why we get disappointed, because our will, and this is not necessarily sinful at first, it's just natural to us that of course we want what we think is good. But when we assume that God's will correspond to our will, we've got it backwards. Jesus does the will of the Father. When we are followers of Jesus, we too choose the will of the Father above our own will, above our own preferences. That's what it means to be a disciple. So it's important for us to make this distinction between what God wills and what anyone else wills, whether it's the people, whether it's popular opinion, whether it's the expectations of our family members or of our culture, whether it's the demands of our own flesh, or even the temptations of the evil one. There's lots of voices, right? Lots of voices are telling us what to do or what not to do, and they're not all the voice of God. So we are in a position of having to discern. We've talked a lot about discernment lately, but this is a great example of it. To discern means to discover the will of God and to follow it, to make a decision that corresponds with how God has revealed himself to us. Discernment is, yes, for the will of God, but it's also to discern, to eliminate what is not the will of God. So that's what Jesus does. He does the will of God in Capernaum, and when the Father says, go to other villages, he leaves people in their disappointment. He leaves people who are looking for him. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with them looking for him, but they have to keep looking. They have to discover the will of God in his absence or seeming absence. Okay, now when we come to discernment, it's beautiful that we have this first reading, the story of young Samuel's first encounter with the Lord. This is just a great story of, you could say a story of discernment, but it's really a story of prayer, of listening. You know the story. Samuel hears the voice of God. He doesn't know who it is. He thinks it's the priest. By the way, I call him Samuel, even though he's called Samuel here. Now that's just variations in pronunciation. And I call the priest Eli, even though he's better known as Eli. But it's talking about the same person. So if I say Eli or Eli, don't be confused. Anyway, old habits die hard, you know. So don't get confused by the different pronunciations. Anyway, so young Samuel finally discovers, with the help of Eli, that it's the Lord who's calling him. And he gives this perfect response. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So he learns how to distinguish between the voice of Eli or anybody else and the voice of the Lord. And that's what makes Samuel a great prophet, as we hear at the end of the reading. But let's back up a little bit and see what's happening here. It says at the very beginning, when young Samuel is there ministering, you remember his mother, we heard about her yesterday, Hannah, prayed for a child and God answered her prayer and she had this son. And she promised, even before he was conceived, that if she had a son, she would dedicate him to the Lord. And she did. She brought him to this shrine. They call it a temple, but this is not the temple because the temple wasn't built yet. It's more like a tent. But anyway, it's the shrine where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that's where Samuel was staying. It says that at that time, a revelation of the Lord was uncommon and vision infrequent. There wasn't much communication from God, which is puzzling to us because God is a communicator. He's a revealer. If you read the context, the early chapters of First Samuel, you'll realize it's not that God wasn't revealing himself, it's that the problem was nobody was listening. It was a time of terrible disobedience, negligence, neglect of religious devotion. Eli is part of the problem. He's just weak. And by this time it says he's blind. That's symbolic of his inability to see what God is doing. If you know the story, he has two sons who are also priests, and they're much worse. They're not just weak and blind. They're actually wicked, wicked men. So that's the condition. No wonder God isn't speaking, because he's not going to speak if there's nobody listening. When he finds young Samuel, he says, oh, here's someone who will actually listen to me. Maybe he doesn't know me yet, but he's going to listen. And that's why he picks out Samuel, a young, open-hearted, obedient, good young man. So Samuel has to learn the difference between the voice of the Lord and the voice of anybody else. And this does take a little getting used to, right? It's not always obvious to us who is speaking. Because it could be a person speaking and we confuse that with the voice of God, or it could be anybody else speaking. An angel, a devil, a social media, it could be any voice. And we might say, is this God speaking? Or it could be God speaking and we get the opposite mistake. We think it's a human voice. That's Samuel's mistake here. You see, both of those errors can come in. Confusing a human voice for God's voice, or confusing God's voice for a human voice. This is discernment. So all of us have to do this work every day. We're constantly being, I would say, bombarded, but we're exposed to lots of voices. Social media is the best example, because from morning till night, and sometimes even in the night, if you keep your phone too close to your bed, from morning till night, you will hear voices. Beep, 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 or you have a mail or an email or whatever the little notification is, or a little light shining on your screen. And then you have to sort out, well, what to do with this voice. Is this the voice of God? Most of the time, of course, it's not. Most it's somebody, you know, sharing a funny video or something, or breaking news, which is really not that important. But most things are of minimal value. They're not necessarily bad. When they are communications from people whom we love, relatives very often, or close friends, or members of the community, the value of the message is connected to the value of the relationship. So if your grandson or grandchild sends you a video of a cat, you respond not because you care about the cat, but because you treasure the relationship with your grandchild. I think grandparents know this. So thank you. I'm so happy to hear from you. You don't say, oh, I love this video. You say, oh, I'm happy to hear from you. How are you? You get the point. You discern what the voice is and the value of it. But when the neighbor down the street sends you the video of the cat, you just ignore it because it has no value. You don't have to say anything. Now, can God speak through social media? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Can he speak through your grandchild? Yes, he can. It's that it's not necessarily so. So this is why we have to turn our focus to the Lord. Now, we have a big advantage over Samuel because we have Jesus Christ. I mean, we're not like Samuel where the era of Samuel when God's voice was not familiar. Once Jesus came, once the Word was made flesh, we have a clear revelation of the will of God. And the voice of Jesus Christ continuing in the church is available to us all the time. We have the scriptures, we have the church, we have the sacraments, we have the saints. We have our Blessed Mother. We're not in the situation of Samuel, but we still have to shift our focus so that we're attentive to the Lord and not just any voice that happens to come down the pipeline. Okay, what's the right response? Eli, the priest, actually teaches Samuel the right response. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. It's an address to the Lord himself. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Lord, I'm listening to you. If you want to speak to me through someone else, okay, but I'm listening to you. If you want to speak through social media, the news, or events in my life, okay, but I'm listening to you. If you want to speak in silence, okay, I'm listening to you, Lord. You get the point. So Jesus is active. He's revealing the will of the Father because he is the fulfillment of the will of the Father. We who are his disciples have the responsibility of listening for his voice, listening to his voice, and responding in faith and love.